I'd like us to turn this evening to read in the Holy Scriptures from Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to break in the reading at the verse 18. We're going to preach tonight in the story that we've just been singing about touching the hem of his garment. Matthew chapter 9 and the verse 18. While Jesus spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. And we'll end our reading there at the verse 26. We know that God will add his blessing to this reading from his own holy and inspired word for his name's sake. Amen. We'll just bow together for a short word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee this evening afresh for thy presence with us. We thank you, Lord, for that promise that where two or three are met together in my name, there am I in the midst. We believe tonight, Lord, in thy promise and in thy word. And so we pray, Father, even now, as thou art here in spirit, that thou wilt do thine own sovereign work. We be conscious tonight that we need thy power, for vain is the help of man, and without thee we can do nothing. So we pray, Lord, that thou wilt come this evening and present thyself here. Come, Lord, tonight and speak to sinners. Come, Lord, personally tonight and powerfully. Come, Lord, as you came that day, even through the prophet to David. You said to him, Thou art the man. Lord, single out thine own tonight, and be pleased to draw them. See of the travail of thy soul, and be abundantly satisfied. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And amen. The scene before us here is that of a great throng of people hurrying through the narrow streets of Capernaum. They are eagerly and following fast after Christ on this occasion here in order that they might witness the miracle of the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. But the Holy Ghost tells us here in our reading that there is one amongst the crowd who is neither a sightseer, nor is she a spectator. She is introduced to us here in the verse 20. Behold, a woman with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him. Now from Mark and Luke's account of this same story, we further learn that she had spent all her living upon physicians and neither could be healed. It says by any. It was all in vain. And now here she is in the mercy and in the providence of God, and like Job 13 in the verse 4, she is brought to realize and to confess in her own heart that they are all physicians of no value. And now she is turning away from the vain hopes of men and the human efforts of men. And now by faith she seeks out Christ, who is, as she is concerned, that great physician. The one whom she believes, who without money and without price will meet her at the very point of her need. She has no doubt about that. And so therefore here in the verse 20 we read these words that she came behind him and touched him. And of course immediately the Bible says that she is made whole. And the Lord seeks to reassure her of that very same fact. And he says there in the verse 22, "Daughter, be of good cheer, thy faith hath made thee whole." Or as we have it there in the original text, "Thy faith has saved thee." This whole event, therefore, is a picture of the salvation of the sinner. "Thy faith hath saved thee." And as we examine the facts of this incident tonight, may you likewise exercise the same faith and put the same reliance upon Christ that this poor woman did on that particular occasion, and have your need met and your sins pardoned and forgiven. I want us to glean the gospel as it's clearly presented to us here in this short reading tonight in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through to the verse 26. And to do so in illustrating the gospel and how that a sinner can be saved, I want us to look here at this woman's circumstances and the experience that is unfolding to us here as given to us by the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I want you to notice here that led to her conversion and to her need being met, first and foremost, the verse 20, it is her concerns. Her concerns. She's a woman here as we meet her, and she has got a burden in her heart. She has a concern here upon her mind. Her soul is bowed down. Now look at the verse 20. "Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. Now there's her problem. There's the crisis in her life. The precise nature of her illness is this. She was slowly but surely hemorrhaging to death. That's it in a nutshell. That pretty much sums up her situation. So she's concerned about two things here. Number one, she's concerned about her disease. Secondly, she's concerned about dying. Those two things, as she came to the Lord that day, was upon her mind. She was diseased. And ultimately that disease would cause her death. And of course, so concerned was she about her situation, that over in Mark's account of this story, he tells us in Mark 5 in the verse 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all her substance and was nothing better, but rather she grew worse. What a problem. And you see, it's this very same fear. And through the operation of God's grace and mercy in her heart and in her life, that brings her now to recognize and to realize that the only one who can meet her need is this great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And And she comes here by faith determined in touching him to lay hold upon eternal life. You, my friend, tonight, that's a picture of the gospel. And before that a sinner can be saved, and I speak from experience tonight, first and foremost, you must have a concern. Thank God tonight that concern will come through the preaching of the gospel and through the operation of the Holy Ghost. He will sovereignly apply that word to the heart and bring about that anxiety and that concern. And I trust that's true of you tonight. I remember way back in 1967 of coming to a meeting one night like this woman who came to Christ. And I came with a burden in my heart because God had been dealing with me. And I sat under the preaching of the gospel night after night. And each night I knew that I was a sinner and I was condemned already and I was bound for hell. And there was a burden that weighed in my heart day and night. Though how gracious the operation of God in the heart and in the life. And just like this woman here, the sinner becomes concerned as God takes a dealing with them, and there's the thought and the dread of the malady of sin, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When we recognize this awful malady, that our sin has separated us between ourselves and God. The awful misery of the soul, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Those matters about a judgment day. For the wages of sin is death. Oh, the anxiety and the fear that there comes upon us then when we recognize that we are sinners and one day there's to be a meeting with a holy God, for after death there's a judgment. That's what sinners need in this meeting tonight. The gracious dealing of God in your heart and in your life. I trust that God's doing that. That's what Ulster needs tonight. Right across Ireland tonight, what we need is a demonstration of God's power and that God's fear might fall. And what's wrong today that men and women have no fear of God, no fear before their eyes. You know, the Bible says, for it is the fear of the Lord shall cause us to depart from iniquity. Was that not the very thing that brought the Philippian jailer that day with an anxious heart? When the earthquake came and he thought that he was going into eternity lost and ruined, and he came to the apostles and he cries out in fear and in trembling, what must I do to be saved? That's it. Fear of God. Here's a woman here and she's got a concern. That's a good thing. But you notice here in her conversion that not only does she have concern, but notice here that she's got a conviction in her heart. Look there with me at the verse 21. Here's her conviction. She says, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. What a faith she had that day. What a resolve she had that day. What a firm conviction she had in her heart and in her life. What a contrast from former years, 12 years the Bible tells us here, that she wasted her time and spent all her substance vainly on things that couldn't save and couldn't meet her need. Oh, that God the Holy Ghost tonight would give us such a conviction like this woman had, because apart from this conviction, we'll never pray, we'll never cry, and we'll never come by faith and depend wholly on him for salvation. I wonder what it was that led her to have a change of heart. What was it that brought her that day to this particular place to seek out the Savior? What gave her this conviction, this consolation that Christ could meet her need? Well, I think firstly because that she had heard about Christ's person. You see, over in Mark chapter 5, when we read of this same account, Mark reveals to you there, it says that when she heard of Jesus, it was then that she came. Now, there were plenty of people who in that location he had needs, and they had heard about Jesus and perhaps had heard him preach, but they didn't come. But you see, this hearing was a hearing of faith. His fame had spread abroad, and in that spread of the gospel and that fame of the Savior, she had heard of one who could meet her at the very point of her very need. The historian tells us that this particular woman left her way up in the land of Dan. Way up north there in Caesarea Philippi. But you see, it was what she heard about Christ that really gave her this faith and this conviction. Again in Mark's account in the chapter 5 in the verse 27, it reads like this, and when she heard literally of the Jesus. I want you to get a hold of that. That's very significant. When she heard of the Jesus, the thought here is of the unique one. The thought here is of a sovereign one. And you see, her mind and her thought and her attention is now being focused not only in one from Nazareth called Jesus, but one who is God of very God, the second person of the divine Godhead. And I don't know to what extent she knew and recognized and realized the truth of who Christ was, but she had enough of faith to recognize that in Christ he was God manifest in flesh. He was a unique one to her. And you see, she recognized that here was one in his person he was able to save to the very uttermost. All he would come. And sinner tonight, you can't be saved unless you've got a conviction like that. That's a conviction that's born in the heart of the Holy Ghost. Oh, she was convinced about his person. But something else, she was convinced about his power. She had heard about that. Luke's account of this story, you'll find it over there in the chapter 8. But if you turn back two further chapters in Luke's account, you go back to the chapter 6, we find there something that's very important and very revealing to us. And over there in Luke chapter 6 in the verse 17 we read of this account. It says here he came down with them and stood in the plains and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him. Notice these words. And he healed their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And then the verse 19, this is very significant. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. They sought to touch him. Now, next account of the woman's healing is two chapters further on. So we're just a few days before this event when we come to Luke chapter 6. And these events that we have just read here happened just a few days before the woman's healing. And you notice here on that occasion when they were healed as a result of touching the Savior. And I have no doubt that this woman had heard something of this miraculous work that the Lord had wrought in lives through that healing touch. And if you turn over for a moment to Matthew chapter 14, and to the chapter 34 through 36, we read again another important incident. When they were gone over, they came into the land of the Gennesarites. When the men of the place had knowledge of him that is Christ, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him. Notice these words, that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. You see, what I'm trying to get across and prove to you here is simply this. That all these occasions, a spontaneous occasion, an A, B, C order here, was the result of one hearing of what Christ had done in one place, and another individual who had the same need, who could say what he has done for others, he can do for me. And thank God that's still the same tonight. And I stand here as a living testimony to the fact that there is that virtue and that healing power when you stretch out the hand of faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation and for redemption. He really saves. He saves from the guttermost to the very uttermost. He's the mighty Christ tonight. And I tell you in this meeting what he did for a young man of 16 years of age so many years ago, he can do for you tonight, for he's lost none of his ancient power. And thank God tonight he's the same yesterday and today and forever. And you see, this woman has been impressed by this very truth. It has given her this conviction here. Here is one who has saved and given deliverance in the past, and therefore he can do the same for me. She heard of Christ's power. But I think obviously that she had another reason for conviction in her heart and in her life. She must have heard something about Christ's priesthood. She must have heard something about Christ's priesthood. You see, the touch of faith here that this woman gave was very, very significant. She didn't touch the Lord on the shoulders. She didn't grasp his hand. But the Bible makes it very clear here that she touched, and deliberately she touched, the hem of his garments. Great emphasis is placed upon this here in our reading tonight. Look at the verse 21. If I may but touch his garment. Look again at the verse 20. She came behind him and she touched the hem of his garment. Someone has rightly said that many thronged around Christ that day, but only one touched him. And in touching him, she touched the hem of his garment. My friend, can I say in this meeting tonight, it is only the touching of the hem of his garment that can save the sinner. And I say that tonight for a very important reason, for a very significant reason, because the Bible makes that very clear. And in the touching of the hem of the garment here, two things are being emphasized. Number one, she did that recognizing as a sinner she was ruined, and I'll prove that in a moment. She touched him, recognizing that she was ruined. And in touching him, she recognized also that he was the Savior of redemption. Those two things.
I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of Numbers. And we're turning to Numbers chapter 15. And the verse 37. There we read these words, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the border of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them." Here we have in Numbers 15 God's instructions concerning the hem of the garments that the Israelites were to wear. You notice here it says on the hem there was to be a fringe. On the fringe there was to be a ribbon of blue. And this was to remind Israel daily of God's holiness and of His holy law. It reminded them of their obligations to obey it perfectly. Notice there what it says in the verse 39, "And remember all the commandments of the Lord to do them." And to be saved there had to be a perfect obedience and a keeping of God's law. You see, here's the problem. Romans 3 in the verse 20, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." You see, by nature it's an impossibility to keep God's law. We are by nature lawbreakers. We are offenders of God. We are therefore liable to hell and to God's awful judgment forever. And you see, in the hem of the garment, as far as the Israelite was concerned, he was reminded of this great fact that he was a sinner. And being a sinner and a lawbreaker, he was ruined by the fall and condemned and lost and undone. Then I want you to turn for a moment over to the book of Exodus and to the chapter 28, for we have just read in Numbers about that which taught the Israelite about the ruin of sin, his inability to keep God's law, the fact that he was lost and undone in himself. And then we come here to Exodus 28, and again we are, in a reading here, we come to the verses 31 through 35, and we haven't really time tonight to read these verses and to expound as we would like to. But we are brought here to the ephod, that ephod of blue, to that glorious garment of Israel's great high priest. And if you drop down there in the chapter 28 to the verse 33, we are brought again to the hem of the garments of the great high priest. You notice there that the hem was to be of pomegranates. And time of out there was a pomegranate and there was a bell. Notice there the particular colours, there was the blue, speaking of Christ's deity. These are all great types of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was the purple pomegranate, that's speaking of the kingship of Christ. There was the scarlet pomegranate, that spoke of suffering, leading us to Calvary, to the doing and to the dying of the great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there were to be the bells in the hem of the garment. And those bells of gold were significant of the dying of the great high priest, of that satisfying sacrifice whereby he would bring deliverance for his elect people. And so you can imagine here, on the great day of atonement, when the high priest would put on this robe, and he would go in the day of atonement with the blood, and he would go in to seek to present that blood before God. Of course, again, we have presented to us here a type and a picture of Calvary. And on that occasion, the high priest would take the shed blood and he would put it in the basin and he would move slowly away from the altar of the basin and he would enter in into that first tabernacle, into the holy place. And you see, while he moved and shuffled all the time, Israel could hear the tinkling of the bells as they would knock against the pomegranate. And they could hear of the progress that their high priest was making in this great work of atonement. And then he would come right up into the veil of the Holy of Holies and he would enter into the second tabernacle. And when he came to the second tabernacle there, he would have to stop. And ceremoniously he would have to remove the breastplate and the ephod and the robe of blue. For he could only enter into the Holy of Holies dressed in that inner garment, that white garment, linen. And the head piece of linen upon the head. And now he is entering into the Holy of Holies. And you see, now he has removed the robe and no longer can they hear. And for the Israelite nation, that and the Day of Atonement was a very solemn time. It was a very solemn awaiting moment. You see, if the blood of the sacrifice is unacceptable before God, then the priest must die and the people must die. And so the high priest enters within the veil and presents the sacrifice before God and he waits. And when the sacrifice is accepted and the Lord's glory falls, he is permitted to leave. And he comes back out again. And he dons again this outer garment. And as he takes his first step, the bells once more begin to ring. And they begin to tinkle and they send out the message to the people that his sacrifice has been accepted before God. And the cry is, our high priest lives. And therefore we live. Can you see the significance of touching the hem of his garment? You see, the whole thrust of it all is speaking here to you of the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered in on our behalf at the place called Calvary. And there he died the just for the unjust, and he offered up a sacrifice to God that was well pleasing in his sight. And of course, the hem of the garment speaks to us about the finished work. What a great type there is here in that victorious life and death, the doing and the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, tonight, apart from that touch of faith to the hem of his garment, there is no salvation. Have you ever humbled yourself as this woman did? Have you ever taken that humble and lowly place as a sinner, recognizing that there is one who has met the need of your heart and of your soul and of your life? One who has satisfied the just demands of a holy law that you and I have broken? Have you ever come to put your faith and your trust in him who alone has lived for you and died for you, that you might be saved? Well, we read this evening that she only touched the hem of his garment. And the hymn writer goes on to assure you and to encourage you as we sang it, O touch the hem of his garment and thou too shalt be free. His saving power this very hour shall give new life to you. Oh, tonight that you would touch him by simple faith, even as this poor woman touched the hem of his garment. Her concern, her conviction. And then notice here her cure. Verse 22, it says that the woman was made whole from that very hour. Again, over in Mark's account, in Mark 5 in the verse 29, it reads like this, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. I tell you tonight, he's a mighty Savior. A mighty Savior. You see, there's a great reality here. The Lord really saves. He really changes. He really keeps. And that's the experience that we have here in this woman. You notice there in Mark's account in the chapter 5, verse 29, it says that she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. You see, this cure here was an inward cure. You know that the problem that man has tonight is an inward problem. It's not turning over a new leaf that will make any difference. The Bible says that it is the heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And unless there's a change wrought in the heart, there'll be no change. Unless the soul, the Lord washes the soul and cleanses the soul, there's no cleansing. You see, this woman here has got a double cure. The first cure, and if you look at Mark's account and read it very carefully in Mark 5 in the verse 34, the Lord refers here to her sickness and he refers to her sin, and he cured both. What a physician he is. He cured both. You see, it's an inward cure. And that's what's wrong today. That's what Northern Ireland is cursed with today. With sham conversions. With people saying a wee prayer. They don't really recognize what they're praying or who they're looking to. But oh, here's a woman who recognized. I don't know how fully she recognized, but she recognized sufficiently that here was one, our great high priest, who could meet her at the very point of her need. An inward cure. Thank God that it was an instant cure. Mark says, putting it like this, he says straightway. I like that. It says straightway. She was made whole. Men and women, I tell you tonight, you can come into this place a sinner bound for hell, and you can leave tonight changed and transformed by the power of God, made a new creature in Jesus Christ. Coming in here on your way to hell, you can go out saved by grace on your way to heaven. That's the reality that this woman experienced here. You can have an instantaneous, that commencement of a new life in your soul tonight, eternal life. Life that is born in an instant when you cry and call upon the Lord. And a life that never dies. I give unto my sheep eternal life. And they shall never perish. Will you trust them tonight? I just say here very briefly in the closing scenes of our meeting. Not only our concern, her conviction and her cure. But notice here her comfort. Her comfort. There in the verse 22 we read these words. The Lord turning to her. And he says, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. You know the comfort the Lord gave to her that day and gives to every sinner is twofold. There's the comfort here of assurance. That's what the Lord is demonstrating to her here. The assurance of that which she had been looking for and praying for, that need had been met. I think that she needed to be comforted just now because for a little time it would seem here her faith had given place to fear. And so the Lord comes to reassure her. She came with that trembling hand as she touched him, but nevertheless she came exercising faith. Mark 5 in the verse 30, we read there that the woman, fearing and trembling, came and fell down before him. I'm sure she was concerned for many reasons. She had the fear of the issue of blood. She was ceremoniously therefore unclean. Any person he would touch her, or any person that she would touch, would be reckoned to be unclean for 24 hours. In the Levitical law. Maybe she had in her heart and her mind the thought, well, if I touch the Savior, that he might turn me away. But thank God he's a loving Savior. He's a gracious Savior. And instead of Christ being made unclean, rather, she is made whole. She would always treasure, I would think, these words of comfort that the Lord spoke to her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And to you men and women tonight, I can give you a word of assurance. Listen, if you'll come to Christ tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, underline it, shall, no doubt, shall be saved. Will you come tonight? The Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Listen, underline it, and I will give you rest. This is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. This life is in the Son. Listen, he that hath the Son hath life. Will you take him tonight? Oh, there's the assurance that he'll be yours if you'll come. Her comfort. The comfort of assurance. But thank God, you'll notice here that there was the comfort of adoption. Look again at the verse 22, the words that he uses here. He doesn't say to her, woman. But notice the significance here. He says to her, daughter. That's very significant. He says, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Here again is the proof of her salvation from her sin and from her sickness. What a comfort these words must have been for one who for some 12 years was a social outcast from her family and from the congregation of the temple. She was debarred from attending. And now through Christ's salvation, she is received into the number of his elect. What a wonder. And thereby, as a daughter being transformed by the power and grace of God, she has a right to all the privileges of the sons and the daughters of the Lord. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Will you trust him tonight? Oh, may you come tonight and recognize that you're a sinner. And simply cry to him. And I tell you, in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, the great transaction will be done. And God's righteousness in Christ will be imputed to you. You'll be made white and you'll be made clean. And they'll be given to you that legal pardon of heaven. And the Lord will say, go thy way for thy sins.